We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, and we're continuing our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We have looked at the character of the Holy Spirit, His deity, the fact that He has regenerated us and made us new creations in Christ. We see so clearly in Scripture that it is the Holy Spirit who is molding us and He is conforming us into the image of Christ. He's to be worshipped. He's to be exalted. We are to give thanks. This morning, we're going to look particularly at the Holy Spirit within the church, within Reverence Bible Church, the gifts that He has gifted each one of us with, and how these things all come together to make a healthy body. If you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now remember that it is the Holy Spirit who is inspiring the Apostle Paul to write these things. And the Holy Spirit is saying, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant in these manners. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning such an important thing as far as the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the members of the body. Really, in the last 100 years or so, you've seen a large movement of Pentecostal churches, more charismatic churches. And as a result, within some of those churches, you've seen incredible abuses of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Attempts to make things seem bigger, make it more extreme, make it so that there's healing services that are forced. I remember being in a service where the pastor came up and he said, "Well, on my way up to the stage, God put on my heart that I'm not to preach the sermon I was going to preach, but He's put something totally different on my heart, and we're going to have a healing service." Now, you know when that happens, really, he didn't study. And so, no, I'm just kidding. But he shifted gears into this thing, and I remember him saying, you know, "Who has scoliosis out there?" And people raised their hands, and he's like, "All right, everybody come up, you know, come on up." You know, so everybody's up, they're all lined up in all these chairs. And he said, "When you have scoliosis, one arm shorter than the other." And so he'd take their hands and go, "See, there you go, one arm shorter than the other." And he'd pray, and it was like this circus as far as, "Come on, work with me. God's trying to heal you. You need enough faith. Work with me." And so he would like move their hands till their hands became even, and it was like, "You're healed," you know. And it was like this big thing as far as this. It seemed so contradictory as far as how the Holy Spirit works, and it grieved me. I remember him saying, you know, to the goalkeeper on my soccer team. It was at school, and he said, "God's telling me that you have a bad back." And he's like, "No. Does anybody have a bad back?" And he shifted gears. I'm like, "Man, we should take you outside and stone you right now because you're a false prophet." And I was upset by it, and I went to the administration, and I just said, "You know, what are we doing? Like, this is, that wasn't biblical. None of what took place today was biblical." And you see abuses that take place where people get hurt by it. I saw in Vietnam when I was there where this young girl was so sick, and they prayed for a healing upon her, and it appeared that she had healed. She was healed, and later on, the disease came back, and the family was so ashamed as far as the disease coming back and them not having enough faith, they wouldn't let her out of the house. And when I was there, they were saying, "What should we do about this? The family won't ever let her out of the house because they're ashamed of her sickness coming back." And you look, and it's just so grievous to think that it's all in our hands based on our faith, and really nobody should ever be sick, nobody should ever struggle with anything, and that there's people that supposedly have these gifts, and if you're not healed, it's your fault, it's not the person's fault. And we see strange things that take place within certain churches where they try to take it to the furthest extreme to be something new, something different. And for us, we want to look and say, what's biblical? How are the gifts to be used in a biblical manner within the church? And the Holy Spirit says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want it to be something that you never think about. I want it to be such that it is clear to you. And you're using your gifts for the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 12:2 goes on and says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Our salvation, as we looked at a few weeks ago, is the result of the Holy Spirit regenerating us. It'd be impossible for you to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say that He is deity, our God who saves. It's impossible to have that kind of faith apart from the Holy Spirit making you who were blind able to see. And so the Holy Spirit's inspiring this, saying, I want you to understand gifts. I want you to understand the spiritual gifts that are there. Don't be ignorant of it. You were walking in a way that was away from God, and yet the Holy Spirit has brought you into the family of God, within the church. There is faith that is there. Regeneration has taken place. And then in verse 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so what the Holy Spirit is telling us here is that there's all different kinds of gifts. All different kinds of gifts that people have within the church. But it's the same God. The church isn't just an institution. The church isn't just a group of people that get together and sing songs together and study God's word and pray and sing some more songs and then go home. The church is a living organism that is structured and it is put together by God Himself. You look and I see people who try to make it on their own outside of church. You know, I don't have to go to church. And yet, it is church that is essential as far as God's gifted you with certain gifts, and they belong to the rest of the body. And the body's gifts belong to you so that we can be healthy. If there's one part of us that's missing, it affects the entire body. So we look, and it tells us there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, it's interesting, as you go through, again, here in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, it gives different gifts that are there. You see that there's apostles and prophets and teachers and those that do miracles and kinds of healings and helps ministries and administration and tongues. In verses 8 through 10 of this chapter, you see that there's a word of wisdom or word of knowledge or faith or gifts of healing or miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it tells us there's apostles and prophets and evangelists. There's pastor teachers who are gifted. In Romans 12, verse 6, it says that there's prophecies and serving and teaching and encouraging and contributing and leadership and mercy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 says that there's a gift of marriage. And there's also a gift of celibacy. 1 Peter 4:11 says that there's those who, it says, whoever speaks with those that have a covering of several gifts, covering of several gifts. There are those that speak, and then there's those that render service. And you see broad categories that are given. I think that as you look at all those lists, you can see that it's not duplicated in every single passage. Rather, there's all kinds of different gifts that God has gifted different people with. And you may be here this morning saying, well, what is my gift? How is it to be used? How can I be there to minister to the body? And we'll look at that this morning, wanting to know what it is that God has gifted you with. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, you look here and we see the purpose of the gifts. It's given to each one. And so you may look and say, I don't have any gifts. Well, that's not the case. Clearly it says that there are gifts and they're given to each one, to every one of us. And it's for the profit of all. Every one of us has a gift, but it is specifically for the profit of the rest of us. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Every one of us has been given a gift, and it is there specifically for the edification of the body, to build up the body of Christ. You have a gift, and it is given to you for the church. To you for the church. The purpose of the gift is to build up the body. And I would encourage you this morning as you think, well, what are my gifts? What can I do? I don't know. I would encourage you to look and look at our church and say, how could I build up the Christians here? How could I be one to just encourage and build up the believers that are here within our church? I look around and church has been in existence in a couple weeks. It'll be 3 years. And there's all different kinds of gifts that God has placed within our body, and it is incredible to see how it functions. There's those that are standing at the front door when you walk in and they greet you because they looked and thought, well, this could be a great ministry. I mean, the first faces that people see when I come into the church, and they're there to give you a bulletin and to greet you and to smile. And I've heard some people say, I want to do that because it makes it so I get to meet everybody. I get to say hello to everybody. I get to try to remember the names of everybody as they come in. And you see others where they're here and they're setting up the table with all the books that are there, setting up the different tables in the back with the sign-up sheets. There's those that leave early in the morning and go pick up the trailer, and they come back and they unload it and they set everything up and make this happen and make the children's ministry all be put together. And you look, it's all different kinds of gifts. Everybody has a gift, and it's necessary for the church to function that way. Chris Dunn, who typically goes and picks up the trailer every week, he's been doing it for 3 years, and he goes and he picks up the trailer and brings it here. They all unload it here as there's a whole group of people that meet here at 8:30, and then another group loads it back up, and then they take it back to the spot and leave it there for the next week. And I was talking with Chris, and I said, you know, we're in a place where we're here at this school and meeting here, and obviously it'd be incredible to have our own building, but right now it doesn't seem wise, and it doesn't seem like something's been just put right there for us where, man, this is the perfect building. And I want to encourage you that are setting up and taking down every week, we are constantly thinking and looking to try to find a building. The funds are getting much closer to where it looks like for the first time we think we could do this. But it has to be right. It has to be the right place where it's going to minister to people as good as we possibly can. And I was talking with Chris, and I said, I know it has to get tiring as far as bringing that trailer every week. Would it be possible, I mean, would it help if we compensated you in some way? And he said, no, I can't teach. I'm not going to go up there and play the guitar. I can't. There's so many things I can't do. I'm not going to do so many different ministries there. This is my gift. I can drive over there, and I can drive a trailer. And I, better than Pastor Matt, because Pastor Matt, he sometimes just takes out the whole side of vehicles next to us. Then we have to pay to get it fixed. Sorry, Matt, you're getting a lot better at it. At first, he thought it was a bumper trailer, but he can do it. He can bring it to the church, and he said, no, I mean, I don't take that away from me. This is my gift. I can do that. I'm a contractor. I can pound nails. He came in and built this whole area at our house for the children's ministry. Incredible. When we started the church, he said, are you going to be working out of home most? I said, yeah. He goes, you need a library. He built me this incredible library. I mean, like, thousands of books are in there. You cover the wood, I'll do all the work. And you look, and it's just a heart that says, what can I do? How can I build up the body? How can I encourage the body? And we work that way. There's some that go and do children's ministry. There's other of us, if you placed us with the little kids, we would hyperventilate. It's not something that we're comfortable with at all. I'm getting better at it, but I more than one would overtake me, for sure. And you look, and there's others that are gifted in other ways. You watch the youth ministry function. I went and spoke there for the graduation of some of the seniors as they met at Chris and Becky Dunn's house. There's over 70 people there, someone's house. On a regular basis, there's 40, 50 kids on a regular basis there on Tuesday nights. Incredible. A whole group of leaders that are there ministering to them, encouraging the students, calling them, discipling them. It's the body functioning. Someone else goes and picks up donuts and picks up coffee. They set that up. There's other people that are serving in other ways. There's Tabitha's Hands, where you see that with Linda Troffer, Fred, and they oversee this ministry where they're retired. Linda is incredible at sewing, and she set this ministry up amongst so many of the other ladies, and they put these quilts together that are incredible. And when somebody is suffering at the church, they make these quilts for them specifically, and they tie these little knots that are there, and with every knot that they tie, they pray specifically for that person who's struggling with an illness or with a loss or something else that's in their life, because they want to give you something tangible that you can hold, that you look and it reminds you that the body of Christ here at Reverence loves you and desires to minister to you. Incredible ministry. And there's others that say, well, what can I do? Joseph Bassos, he's into sports. He could do sports. He met up with me. You know, I've been looking. What can I do? I'll head up the sports ministry. Is that okay? Be a part of that. And so we have a ping pong tournament next weekend. Incredible. And we look, and everybody has different things, but you're looking and you're thinking in your mind, what can I do? How can I build up the other Christians that are here at our church? Whether it be teaching in the women's ministry or teaching in the youth or the junior high or college or looking and saying, well, there's the suppers of eight that takes place. A dinner where eight people get together, you have it at someone's house, and you get to fellowship, you get to minister. We're blessed this last Friday to be at Kent and Don Collins' house, somewhere around here. And there they are. And Kent just made this incredible meal, like just ribs that were incredible, and chicken. And he was there serving and doing all kinds of things. And we look and we think that just a gift of hospitality opening up your home, letting people come in, and then getting to know them. You may not be good as far as coming in front of people and talking with them. It's the last thing in the world you want to do, but you can have dinner with somebody. You can minister to them. You might be here this morning thinking, what can I do? Well, there's new people that come into the church. What a great thing it is to have some people that are here where they're good one-on-one, and they can go and at least meet and talk with some of the people that come in. It's like, that's a new family. I'm going to make them feel welcome. I want to get to know them and try to remember their names. And it's a ministry. There's others that could be praying for certain people within the church. And just, that's your ministry. You pray. Like you, I'm so blessed by Rose Bogan. She is someone who drives down with her husband, Carrie, from Orange. And she just says, I just, every day I pray for you. There's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for you. That's just, you're the person that God's put on my heart. I just pray for you. And I just think, praise God, that there's a person, and I'm sure there's more, but in the congregation, it's just every day I'm committed to pray for you. She has terrible migraine headaches, and they don't know the cause and all these things, but she is praying on a regular basis for me and for us as a body. Earl Milligan's 89 years old. Prays for us as a church, you individually, on a regular basis. He's lost almost all of his sight, and yet he prays. There's times where somebody will come by and Mr. Milligan will say, I saw somebody at church today. They were tall. They were really tall. I had never seen them before. Who are they? And what a blessing to use his gifts at this particular time in his life to hold up the body of Christ in prayer. And so you look, and I've missed a lot of you because there's everybody that is serving in different ways. And the Bible encourages us, stir up the gift that is within you. I watch Terry. Terry sits next to Mr. Milligan, I think, every week. They're ministering to him. And it's the body functioning with each other, for each other. And it's to God's glory. If you look at with me at verse 8, it goes on, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And then it says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. Critical as you look at that last verse there. There's all these gifts that are there that are listed. And then it says, and every one of the gifts is given by the same Spirit who works all of these things together. And it says it's distributed to each one, meaning that you can't be here this morning as a believer and say, I don't have any gifts. No, that'd be wrong. Biblically, that would be wrong. You look and it says, I've given to each one individually. And then it tells us, as he wills. As he wills. As the Holy Spirit willed it, he has gifted you in a certain way. And it's so that the body can function properly. You've heard frequently that in a church, 90% of the people are inactive. 10% do the majority of the work that's there. That's not how it's supposed to work. That's not how it's supposed to function. That's not how I believe that it functions here at Reverence Bible Church. Not at all. You look, and we all have gifts that we've been given to us as the Holy Spirit will. Now you think about that, and some people say, well, I want that other person's gift. But it's wrong to think that way, because the Holy Spirit gifted you as he willed, as he desired, to say, thanks, God, but I don't really like it. You gave me a gift, huh? Can I trade it for the other person's? It's a heart of not being thankful. We see it reiterated in 1 Corinthians 12:18, where it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Just as he pleased, he has gifted each one of you individually, placed you within this body perfectly as it pleased him. Let's look at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There's a unity that is here within us. We are one body. You have come from all different backgrounds, but it is one Spirit who has drawn you together, and we are one body. All equal members of one body. Part of the Reformation was the emphasis of the priesthood of all believers. It's not like, well, you get paid to do this, or you're the main pastor, so you need to do all of these different things. Or there's those other people that are in leadership. They're supposed to do all of these things. But looking at it rather and saying, no, we are one body. Every one of us has a function, and there's not some that are more important than others. They are all critical. You've been baptized into one body. You've been all made to drink into one Spirit. In verse 14, it says, In fact, the body is not one member, but many. So we saw that there is unity that is there, but also there is diversity that's here as well. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You can't be a body if you're all the mouthpiece. You can't be the body if everybody was the hand. You can't be the body if everybody was the leg. God has given us bodies that have different functions. And everybody has a critical function within this body. It's important for us not to look and say, well, I want that position. But look and say, no, I'm satisfied with where I'm at, but I want to stir up the gift that's inside of me and minister to the body with it. I want to build up our church. I want a church that's healthy. It's encouraged. We're going to be starting something in the next few months. We're doing some work on it, but it is coming from Titus chapter 2, where the older women, and not necessarily older with reference to age, but those that are mature, spiritually mature women, being there and specifically discipling some of the younger women. What an incredible ministry. They're taking younger people and saying, let me encourage you through God's word. Let's read this book together. We'll go through, we'll talk, and it'll be just a great time. We'll go get lunch together. But discipleship taking place on a regular basis. We see that different respects within the men of the church. But it's so critical that these kind of things take place. Ministering to one another and looking and saying, okay, every one of us has a function here. You watch those that minister to the kids and they just love on the kids. Ministering to them. You hear the verses that they recite. It's incredible. And going through, and I'll tell you, these kids will grow up from the children's ministry, and they will see that they serve a great God who's worthy to be praised. They'll be rooted and grounded in God's word. Critical. There's others of us that would be sent out to different regions of the world. You have Joey and Mihai Lohani that are serving in Romania, as well as Andre and Kelly, Andreas. And they're there, and they're there, and they're ministering there and serving there. Kelly Schwartz is heading off for the Netherlands coming up in a couple weeks, and she's been on like 4 mission trips, I think, this year, going all over the world. And it's incredible. It's just an opportunity comes up. There's kids that need to be ministered to when taught, and this is going to take place in Holland, and so she's just, okay, I can go. I can do it. Goes. And there's some people that aren't in that place right now where they can just go to the uttermost parts of the world. But for her, her kids are grown up. Almost. Jesse's still kind of working on it a little bit. But senior in high school, she's almost there. And she can go at this particular time. And you look and some of the other people can, it's possible to go and minister. We're having a trip to Africa coming up this time next year. Last part of July, first couple weeks of August. Now is the time that you need to decide, I want to go on that trip. I want to minister there. And there's times where people say, I can't. I don't, what am I going to do on a trip like that? I'm not a doctor like Dr. Hendrickson or Dr. Jim Hendrickson or Dr. Bev Hendrickson. But I can't. I can't. I'm not going to get up and speak in front of a whole lot of people. I watch Chris Means. Where are you, Chris? You're here someplace. There he is. Chris Means. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do on this trip. The guy just danced, and he played with the kids. He was, he is the super, I mean, the guy is a superstar in Uganda and Kenya. I mean, literally, like, just got up there and just played with the kids. It had such an incredible impact on them by playing with them, ministering to them, dancing, and they laughed at him, we laughed at him, and but it was one of those things where it was such an asset to the trip. And there's others that helped in other areas, setting up the sound system, blowing bubbles, and the little kids came around. I mean, how many of you can blow bubbles? I bet you can. Hand out stickers. And there's others that are there, and we're preaching the gospel. But it's one of those things where everybody has a function, and incredible thing it is to serve. But you look, and there's different gifts that I'm not sure it's off. There's different gifts that each one of us has, and it's so critical that we use them. Not looking, saying, "I wish I was that other person with that other gift," but being thankful for the gift that God has given you, that the Holy Spirit has given you, and saying, to His glory, I'm going to use it. To build up the saints. I want a healthy church. I want to be able to minister to them. I can invite a family that I don't know from church, and it's out of my comfort zone, but I can invite them over for dinner and just get to know them and see, God, can I minister to them this way? Maybe it's in contributing, that is your gift. It's you have a gift that just desires to give to help financially. And we don't talk about finances here. You'll never see a thermometer up here saying, this is where we need to where we get a building. It'll never happen. At least not as long as I'm pastoring and the elders of our church are here. It won't happen. God's not poor. You see, God works on different people's hearts and accomplishes things as they joyfully use their gifts for His kingdom. It's just a part of being a body. You look and saying, I can do this. For many of us, it may be that we have several gifts. We have the ability to work with children's ministry, or we have the ability to drive a trailer, or we could set up chairs, a heart that desires to serve. We can give monetarily. We can be praying for our congregation, people individually, and constantly looking and saying, God, I don't know exactly all of the details or what my gift is called, and I'm not big on doing a test, filling out, you know, different categories to see what gifts you might have. I would just encourage you to look and say, I want to minister to the body. What can I do? What can I do? How can I build up Christians at our church this week? And you see that, and it'll be God working through you. Let's look at verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Has anybody woken up this morning and thought, I'm so thankful for my kidney? You don't think that way. No one's like, oh, good job, liver today. That's great. There's these parts of our body where no one sees them. But I would rather not have a pinky or a hand than not have a liver. I can live without certain parts of my body. I can't live without a liver. And so I don't want you to think of it as far as there's all these outward parts that are doing all these things and people can see what exactly is taking place and how the members are being used. But it may be that you are one of those parts that just does not get seen on a regular basis. But the fact of the matter is God sees. God knows the prayers that go forward. God knows what you're doing as far as serving. God knows what it is that you're doing as far as the ministry that takes place and individual discipleship. And he's gifted you in certain ways, and it's just looking and saying, yeah, I can do this, and I don't have to be seen, but this is what God has called me to minister to the body. And God says, the parts that aren't seen are vital. They're so important to the body. And verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. In that translation at the end, it says, it can be translated also, but you earnestly desire the best gifts. You earnestly desire the gifts that are seen by people the most. And I'll show you a more excellent way. It's just a possible way of translating that. But you look at this, and the answer is, the rhetorical question is, obviously not everybody is an apostle, not everybody is a prophet, not everybody is a teacher, not everybody is a worker of miracles. Not everybody has all of those gifts. But every part of us is critical. More than likely, you have no idea who takes the sermons and puts them up on the internet. It just is done by somebody at work or at home. You know that since the church started, there's been over 25,000 sermons that have been downloaded from the internet. I get calls from people from Idaho. I hear the sermons, and they're teaching me so much, and I make copies of them, and I hand them out to all my friends. And you look at that, well, how'd you find it? Well, I was on the internet, I was looking at Blue Letter Bible, and I came across a sermon, and then I went to your site, and then we started just downloading sermons. Since this year began, the youth ministries had over 1,000 sermons that have been downloaded from high school students. And it's just people using their gifts and saying, this could be for the building up of the body. This would be a blessing to our church. And God says, you're the body of Christ. You've been individually gifted with different gifts. Use it for God's glory. Use it for the building up of the saints. Pray, God, how could I serve? God, what can I do? How could I minister? And watch the Holy Spirit just take the gift and work it in you to minister to the rest of us. It's part of being a healthy church. We've shifted into a mentality in the United States through a lot of churches where they are so big, these mega churches that are so gigantic, that it is so easy to become invisible. It's so easy to say, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. It's virtually impossible for you within reverence to become invisible. You have gifts. You can't just file into church, file out, never use the gifts. We will suffer as a result. The rest of us will suffer. You need to look and say, I have gifts. I can use them. I'm not where it's insignificant. And so on a regular basis, pray to God, how can I build up the saints? Can I teach? Maybe it's that I can evangelize. I would say there's a huge number of people that are at our church because of Jeff and Carol Lawler have invited you. Or Trevor Wright has invited you. Or some of the rest of you guys, Schwartz has brought people here. They had a whole section in the back last week. Schwartz section. And you can invite people. And come. Hear God's word. Be a part of worship. Evangelize. What an incredible thing it is to see a body function and be healthy. And then we'll train up people and send them out, and they'll start other churches, and we'll just watch different bodies function where each of us are using our gifts for the glory of God. Sound good? Let's close with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have gifted each one of us individually. Help us to see how we can build up the rest of the body. Help us to see how we can bring glory and honor to your name. Give us clarity as far as areas that we can serve, areas where there might be needs, areas where we can bring in reinforcements to help in different aspects, whether it be children's ministry or setup ministry or takedown ministry or missions, discipleship that takes place within homes, fellowship that occurs, sports ministries, whatever it is, God, I pray that we at Reverence would be a healthy church centered upon the gospel, Christ and Him crucified. Help us to be centered upon you, your glory, amazed at you, blessed and desiring to proclaim salvation through Christ alone to the uttermost parts of the world. We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, help us to use these gifts for the building up of our church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.